And closing arguments now underway in New York City in the defamation case against former President Trump. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 83 points, the Nasdaq down 12 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get back into the meat of the discussion on our subject today, why Christians should be well-trained, why Christians should study and know biblical prophecy, let me insert this. We're thankful for our listeners. We praise the Lord for you each and every day. We're thankful for your contribution, your underwriting and support of this broadcast. We've been able to be sustained and on the air now for almost 10 years. We're thankful for that privilege and opportunity. But because we are facing a contract renewal, and with that contract renewal, our contract is going from $48,000 a year to $72,000 a year, or just slightly under that, but right at $72,000 a year. Now, I'm not faulting the station or the network for that. Costs have gone up every place on everything. But ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty heavy increase, about a 50% increase, and we cannot sustain it unless you lock arms with us, join hands with us, and support the work of this ministry going forth. I'm thankful for some. We had an opportunity to have a telephone conversation with some that lives out of state, that listen to the broadcast each and every day, and they said they were doubling their contribution each month to help underwrite the increase that we're having. So thank you for the generosity in the past. Thank you for your generous contributions in the future. And I pray that God will direct your heart. Do not listen. Do not take one penny of your tithe money. That goes into your local New Testament church. But over and above your tithes, may your offerings be considered to go toward the sustaining of Let's Face the Issues. And if you do that, go to fcbcatjax.com. Go to the donate button, make your contribution, and do that on a regular month-to-month basis so that this ministry can continue just as we've done for almost 10 years. If you've been informed, encouraged, challenged, educated by this, had an email from an individual just yesterday, talked about how wonderful it has been for all of these years that he's been educated in some elements that he would not have known, informed in areas that he would have never known had it not been for this broadcast. I'm thankful for comments like that, and we look forward to what we can continue to do. Again, thank you in advance for your generosity in supporting Let's Face the Issues. Dr. Davis is with me today. We're talking about why Christians should know biblical truth. Dr. Davis, I'm looking at an article. It says, underneath all of the diverse reasons why the church does not talk about the end times, ultimately the real reason is because of fear. Fear. You touched on that a moment ago. Underneath all of the diverse reasons, this writer says, why the church does not talk about end times, ultimately the real reason is because of fear. Fear of offending people, because there's so much division as the exact interpretation and understanding. Fear of dividing the church and creating arguments among the congregation. Fear of showing their lack of knowledge on the subject. Fear of the political correctness that has reached up to the church level in these last days. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought not to have fear. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the scripture is clear. God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, let's get down to the meat of it. Pastor Davis, the major, major thing, I want to just look at several reasons why we should study biblical prophecy. Number one, the study of biblical prophecy will help us recognize the false prophets and the false teachers. In the Jesus warnings in Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5, Jesus said to his disciples, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Verse 24, he says, "For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect." And ladies and gentlemen, if God said it, that settles it. And in the prophetic text, God tells his disciples and warns us that in the last days, in fact, perhaps you've heard me say before, Matthew 24 and 25, it's a couplet of two chapters, both dealing with eschatological future tense prophetic text. Luke chapter 21, Mark's Gospel chapter 13, that's three or four of the major areas in the New Testament that deals with prophecy and what's going to happen. Now you can go to places like Daniel, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 11, etc., etc., etc. Go to all of the book of the Revelation. It's talking about prophetic future events that will take place. But the key to it is, Dr. Davis, the study of prophecy will help us recognize false teachers, those false prophets that come on the scene. It will help us to recognize them. If we study the scripture, we study the word, God's word says that in the last days, these false teachers and false prophets are going to arise. The study of the scripture will help us understand that. In fact, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 12 and following, in the days after the rapture of the church, the false prophet is able to call down fire from heaven and perform signs, miracles, and wonders. So, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you're asking the question, what's wrong with somebody being able to do that today? Ladies and gentlemen, according to the scripture, we can recognize a false prophet, a false teacher, based on the authority of the Word of God. God does not have to give us signs, miracles. I believe in miracles today, absolutely. But listen carefully. God doesn't use signs, miracles, and wonders to authenticate His Word. God uses the Word to authenticate the Word. The authentication in the early church days, authentication was by signs, miracles, and wonders. The one that was doing the giving the message and the messenger and the message were authenticated by signs, miracles, and wonders. We do not need that today. God's Word authenticates God's message. So, Pastor Davis, how do you respond to that? What would you say in relationship to the study of prophecy helps us to recognize the false prophets and the false teachers in the world today?
Well, what we need to know, Dr. Youngblood, and be comforted by,
yes,
is that God didn't ever intend for prophecy or His Word to be an enigma,
mm-hmm,
to His people.
That's right.
No one can explain God's Word better than God.
That's right.
And no one can explain the Bible better than the Bible explains itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, all we can do is read it and study it as we were commanded,
mm-hmm,
and then show ourselves approved, a workman unto God. We don't need to show the preacher, the deacon, the missionary, no one else that we know the Word. We need to show God that we know his word.
Right.
And then we need to take that word and apply it where necessary. Because as long as we're living in this life, we have to understand he didn't promise us every day was going to be peaches and cream.
That's right.
In fact, when you go to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 17 through 18, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And then he goes down and explains that a little bit further and say, "For what a man seeth, why should he hope for it?"
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't see it, in other words, it gives him the more reason to hope. Now, we're not talking about wishful thinking.
No, no.
We're not. We're talking about blessed assurance. That is where we receive blessed assurance by God to us through his word.
That's right.
If we learn it, study it, what I'm saying, study it first, learn it, know it, and understand it, and apply it to the areas of our lives where we are having trouble, affliction. I just read that to you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to face affliction. Now, sometimes, most of the time, more than none.
That's because Satan is on the warpath.
Most people want to be blessed, but they don't want the affliction.
That's right.
Everybody wants the good part, in other words, from the word of God, but they don't realize there's also a bad part.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, before things get better, it tends to get worse before it gets better.
I'm going to look at the book of Job and see in Job chapter 1 and 2. But one of the things, Pastor, what you said is so apropos to where we are today. I'm looking at a headline, "Why study biblical prophecy?" I thought I was the only one asking that question. It says, many people have a negative attitude toward study of Bible prophecy. Some say, quote, "I'm only concerned about the present, so don't bother me with the ideas about something in the future." Or, "Nobody can understand prophecies in the Bible, so why bother to study them?" Or others will say, "We will not study biblical prophecy in our church because it's divisive." Others will say, "There are very few, if any, prophecies of future event beyond our time in the Bible. Almost all biblical prophecies are fulfilled by the end of the first century A.D. That's what many are saying today. And this writer goes on to say, it's impossible to understand God's purpose for history apart from biblical prophecy. It's impossible to understand God's purpose for history apart from biblical prophecy.
Well, I have to wonder, Doug Youngblood, how can some people explain away the accuracy of Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
God told Israel that they were going in 70 years of captivity. Did that happen?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you can go to Isaiah, you can go to Jeremiah, and I'm reading in Jeremiah right now, chapter 49 and chapter 50, how Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, took Israel into captivity, and afterwards, God said, this is one verse I'm just going to read, he said, "Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited," speaking about Israel, "but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon," I'm sorry, that was Babylon. I'm looking at the 50 instead of 49. "Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all her plagues."
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, like I said before, they took Israel into captivity, yet God turned around and pronounced judgment upon them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to realize that you don't mess around with God's people.
Right.
When he said, "If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. And if you curse Israel, you'll be cursed," he means exactly that. Now, I read some other portions, and I'm not going to that today. But the reason why I started reading in Jeremiah chapter 49 and went to verse 50, I wanted to see and I wanted to announce. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 28 through 39, you will see how accurate Scripture has been, prophecy, in other words, has been concerning Israel, because we see a message against, and it says here, the heading in my Bible says, "Message against Kedar and Hazor," and then a message against Elam. And then when you go to chapter 50, it says destruction of Babylon and restoration of Israel. So, again, tie that in with the book of Daniel and his prophecy about Israel, mm-hmm. the 70 years of captivity, and after that, Israel will be restored. Jeremiah came along and verified the same thing. So again now, how can anyone refute the accuracy of Scripture? This was prophecy. And we have it in history. It's recorded in history that this actually happened.
That's right.
It took place.
And one of the things, again, it goes back to, as I read from this particular one of the writers a moment ago, multitudes of pastors, they say, well, you know, if I talk about it, it might be divisive because there's so many understandings of prophecy. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one interpretation. There may be many applications, but there's not but one interpretation of Scripture. Now, some might disagree with that. That's fine. You can't take a verse or a text or a chapter and say, well, there are diversities of interpretations. One single interpretation, many applications. But ladies and gentlemen, for example, people may be asking today, what is Israel's role in the end time? We see what's happening in the Middle East. Multitudes of people are saying, is this the end of the world? I recall back when 9/11 took place, one of the men in our group, he had two children in the academy at the time, I think it was two, and when all of the news was taking place globally about the planes running into the Twin Towers in New York, he called and said, is this the end of the world? What's happening? And we have people today that are in a similar scenario. They're saying, what role does Russia have in end time? What role does China have in the end time? What role does Iran have in the end times? What role does Israel have in the last days? Ladies and gentlemen, those are good questions, and that's going back to understanding biblical prophecy and understanding it. Not only if we study prophecy, it'll help us to recognize the false prophets and the false teachers. Secondly, in the study of biblical prophecy, it will allow us to understand the signs of the times. The signs of the times.
Amen.
Jesus' disciples, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, 2, and 3, Jesus' disciples asked the Lord Jesus three questions. That's where Jesus took all of chapter 24 and all of chapter 25 to answer the three questions that his disciple asked him. They asked him, when shall these things be? When will these things take place, is what they said. The second question they asked was, what shall the sign of thy coming be? And the third thing, and when will be the end of the world? Those are the three basic questions that Jesus' disciples asked. Keep in mind, the disciples asked the question, when will these things be? What shall be the signs? And when will the end be? Ladies and gentlemen, all of Matthew 24 and 25 is Jesus' answer to those three very simple but very profound questions. And we as believers, I believe, need to recognize the signs Jesus has given us in his word. For example, Jesus says that there will be the onslaught of false teachers. Jesus says, in answer to the disciples' questions that I just read, Jesus says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said, nation shall rise against nation. And Dr. Davis, that word nation is the word ethnos. That means ethnicity against ethnicity, groups of people groups against people groups. And I don't know if there's ever been a time in the history of the world that we see that any more clearly and distinctly than we're seeing today.
Amen.
The socialist Marxists are trying to divide America by race. The global ideal and the approach is to have the ethnic. We have right today, ladies and gentlemen, the war against humanity being carried out by Islam, which is an ethnic group, being carried out by Islam because Islam believes that they need to control the whole world. With Islam's teaching, ladies and gentlemen, it's a false teaching. They believe that the hidden imam, the 12th imam, is out there, and the only way he will reappear is by bringing the whole world into chaos, confusion, and calamity, and then that imam will appear. Ladies and gentlemen, they don't realize that they're professing a false doctrine, a false theological persuasion, because that imam that supposedly will come back will not be the hidden imam, the 12th imam that they so call it. It will be the Antichrist stepping on the scene. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand biblical prophecy. God's word said there will be an onslaught of false teachers in the last days. We see that. You can turn the radio dial, the television dial, and find those false teachers proliferating in society today. Dr. Davis, I don't know of anything that's any more, bothersome to me than to hear on either radio or television those that are preachers, teachers, that's teaching a false doctrine, a false theology. Just as one international television preacher says that Jesus was not divine until he rose, resurrected and went back to heaven. Then he took upon himself his divinity that he had before he came to earth. Then there are those that will say, there's no rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is not real. It's not going to take place. Then you have those that will tell you that the book of the Revelation is all mythology and fiction, and we can't believe it. Then you have those that say the book of Revelation's already been fulfilled. And I could go on and on and on with those false teachers. And then, ladies and gentlemen, when the Bible says wars and rumors of wars, the word rumors means rumblings. So we have the wars and the rumblings of wars today. In fact, I've used the term, you can take a globe, close your eyes, spin it, put your finger down, and there'll be some kind of calamity, some kind of war taking place in that spot. Ladies and gentlemen, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. Ladies and gentlemen, all of these things, if we do not put them into the larger picture and see them as prophetic signs of the last days, we fail to recognize what God is wanting to teach us, what God is wanting to say. And then Pastor Davis, in that Matthew 24, about verse 9, 10, 11, says, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
Amen.
But
Amen.
The key, ladies and gentlemen,
that's fair warning.
Fair warning, absolutely. And the key that I think is there says, an iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. The word iniquity is the word that can be better translated lawlessness. Iniquity can mean twisted, perverted sin or lawlessness. And we see lawlessness prevailing today on a global basis. Ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't wake us up, if that doesn't get our attention, if that doesn't say God's word has already said it, that settles it, it's going to take place. There's something wrong with the intellect. When will the end come? Jesus' disciples ask him. Or when will Jesus return? Pastor, turn to Matthew 24. I want you to read for our listeners today, verse 36, 37, 38, and 39. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 through 39. Because keep in mind, his disciples had already asked the question, three questions. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And when will the end of the world be? Those are three questions. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know biblical prophecy and what the end time will look like, Matthew 24, verse 36 and following gives us the answer.
He says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noe entered into the ark.
Mm-hmm.
And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Absolutely. So when the question the disciples asked Jesus, they asked him a question. Jesus gave them a prophetic eschatological answer. And one of the questions, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Jesus says nobody knows the day or the hour. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we've had down through the corridors of time dozens upon dozens upon dozens, and may I repeat, dozens upon dozens have tried to set dates and times. There are those that have set times that Jesus is going to come back. One was several years ago. Jesus is going to come back between September the 6th and September the 13th of 1996. That man had a national, international radio broadcast, and he set dates and times that never happened. ladies and gentlemen, if we want to know what it will look like in the last days, God's word tells us, Jesus speaking in Matthew 24, verse 36 through 39, it says that we need to expect when it's ready for Jesus to return, it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. What was it like in the days of Noah? Genesis 6, 5 says, wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination and thought or thoughts of the heart was only on evil continually. That's what it was like in Noah's day. And Jesus says that's the way to be like in the day in which he's coming. And we don't know the day or the hour. We don't know the month or the year. It could be tomorrow that we have the rapture of the church. Rapture church could take place before I finish the sentence. But there's a seven-year period of time between the rapture and the return. And so the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is where we have so many eschatological prophetic signs and warnings and things to be seen that should let us understand what it's going to be like. In the days of Noah, people were living as if the end would never come. In the days of Noah, they were living with a mindset of evil constantly, continually on their hearts. Pastor Davis, I don't know if you could find any other text that explains it any more clearly than that.
Amen.
We're living in that day. We're living in that hour. We're living in that time when there's a constant sense of chaos, confusion, calamity, and evil and wickedness as I don't believe the world has ever seen before. It's illustrated in the future study of Bible prophecy. As we study Bible prophecy, ladies and gentlemen, I'll say this and let Dr. Davis wrap the broadcast up. It helps us to be prepared and not surprised. It helps us to be protected, to know false doctrine when we see it. It helps us to be practical in watching the events and not being fearful, but comforted knowing that the Lord is in control. Pastor Davis, put the, if you please, the exclamation mark on what we just said and wrap this up in challenge for our listeners today.
Well, with all the information that we've tried to share today, hopefully this will draw our hearts more to a true worship of God and realize that he's still in control and he's going to complete his will in history, and it's all going to work out for our good.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, scripture tells us in the same passage, amen, Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, says, therefore, be ye also ready,
amen,
for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Amen.
He's on the way coming back. Let us be ready, and let us be ready to welcome him with open arms. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, kind of to wrap it all up, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. Then there's the 7 years of tribulation with the Antichrist on the scene. During the tribulation, according to Revelation, there's 21 judgments, the great white throne judgment being the one in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 20, where there will be the judgment of the lost, the great white throne judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that this has been a blessing to you. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9.